Hello and welcome to Princess in the Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Sawyers, and I'm ready to talk Disney movies past and present. Once upon a time, Hannah, Ryan, Katie, and Kevin sat down to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Welcome back for an episode of Princess in the Podcast. It's been a while. It's been
a hot minute.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time.
Is that a Taylor Swift reference that you did?
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
I decided I was going to run a half marathon, and that is extremely time-consuming, especially when you're very slow. And so...
Literally.
You're so mean.
No, I'm saying it literally takes a while when you're running slow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a slow runner, too.
Okay, anyway. So that took a lot of my time, and I felt like that was my priority. So we are very excited to be back on the air, and what better episode to come back on than a recap of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, especially with the Marvel gang. You guys are obviously people who mean a lot to me. I don't know what you're doing, Kevin, and this is a podcast so no one can see you, but we're going to jump right in. In Marvel Studios Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, our beloved band of misfits are looking a bit different these days. Peter Quill, still reeling from the loss of Gamora, must rally his team around him to defend the universe along with protecting one of their own. A mission that, if not completed successfully, could quite possibly lead to the end of the Guardians as we know them. James Gunn writes and directs Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Palm Clemente, featuring Vin Diesel as Groot, Bradley Cooper as Rocket, Sean Gunn, and others. Kevin Feige is the producer, and Luis De Esposito, Victoria Alonso, Nicholas Korda, Simon Hatt, and Sarah Smith serve as executive producers. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was released on May 5th, 2023. In case you are not aware, all of our episodes of Princess of the Podcast contain spoilers, and if you have not watched the movie at this point, you should peace out. So, let's just jump right in. Katie, when and how did you watch?
So, I actually watched on a Thursday night, which is pretty rare. But so I watched on May the 4th, be with you. And I watched it in IMAX at the Warren Theater.
We also watched on May the 4th. I had to change from my Star Wars outfit into my I Am Groot outfit, and we watched it in Dolby Digital at AMC.
I watched it on May 6th, which is late for me, because we were traveling back from Vegas on the 5th.
Yeah. You should have watched it in Vegas on the 4th. Surely there's like an amazing movie theater.
Well, I said what?
Or is that fake news?
I mean, I'm sure there are good theaters out in Vegas, but it's like, oh, we're going to Vegas. We're not going to go to like a theater, like a movie theater. It's weird.
Instead, you went to Taco Bell.
They have a Taco Bell cantina, so they have alcoholic beverages, right? Okay. So it's different.
So a little overview of the storyline. This was provided by Marvel. In Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, our beloved band of misfits, which is how the other thing started, but it's not the same recap in case you were wondering, are settling into life on Nowhere. But it isn't long before lives are upended by the echoes of Rocket's turbulent past. Peter Quill's still reeling. That part's the same. And the goal is to save Rocket's life, a mission that, if not completed successfully, could possibly end the Guardians. So... any thought on the storyline? I'm just going to say it like straight off the bat. When I was watching, I think we all kind of went into it thinking Rocket died. Did everyone go into the movie thinking that?
No, I didn't think he would.
I thought it was a possibility for sure.
Yeah.
I thought someone would die, but I honestly didn't think Rocket was going to die.
See, I went in because of all the baby Rocket merch, and there was like no actual Rocket merch. I went in thinking like he's gonna die, and so like they're pushing the baby Rocket.
I thought they were going that Marvel has become pretty they haven't killed off any main characters lately. Have you guys noticed that? They like just haven't.
Yeah, after the backlash for Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. I don't think Scarlet Witch is dead either.
According to the movie, she's dead. That's what I meant. Yeah. Oh, he's winking, listeners.
I don't. Oh, yeah. I'm winking. Wink, wink. I just don't think. I think Marvel has been pretty, pretty weenie about killing off characters, except for Black Panther, because the actor, like, you know, literally died in real life. So a little bit different.
Yeah. I just went in. That was the only thing I really felt like was going to happen. And I honestly had not watched any trailers that prediction. I don't know if I'd even call it a prediction. It's just what I thought going in. Like, assumption. It wasn't like a formal. Yeah, I think assumption is a better word. I was based on purely merch. And so, you know, that was something that I was definitely thinking was going to happen. I really, like Ryan said, I knew if Rocket didn't die, I was like, somebody's going to die. Because, like, it felt like a jumping off point. Like, it felt like it was time for the Guardians to move on. And so the only way that really makes sense for that to happen is for someone to die. Like, that's just how stories sometimes tend to go. Katie, did you have any other thoughts about the storyline?
No. I feel like that pretty much captures it.
Yeah. Kevin?
I don't know if we're going to go into specifics about, like, the whole, like, Olivia thing. But that was pretty heart-wrenching. Her name was Olivia, right? The otter?
Lila.
Oh my god. Back it up. Some people on the
internet. You're so attached to that character.
No, I wasn't attached to her. But that was heart-wrenching. Also, that freaking spider rabbit thing was terrifying. Major flashbacks to, like, Toy Story.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Terrifying. But yeah, that was pretty heart-wrenching. And then, like, whenever Rocket was, like, about to die.
Yeah.
Right. And she was talking to him. I was like, oh, I'm not going to cry. I'm a man.
I'm not crying.
I will say this. In Wakanda Forever, which we're going to go back and recap at some point throughout the summer, I cried 6 times. I did not cry a single time in this movie.
Mm.
Heartless.
But how many times did you cry?
2 or 3.
Katie?
You didn't cry at all during this movie?
I cried once at the end.
So I was on the brink of crying when Rocket almost died. And I was on the brink of crying when Star-Lord almost died. But
Star-Lord didn't almost die.
Yes, he did.
They were not going to kill him in that fashion, saving the Zune. They were not going to kill him off for the Zune.
Star-Lord survives in space a lot. So I was like, he's not about to die. Because he just, like, he'll literally just, like, freeze a little bit in space every Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah. But those were the 2 times I almost cried, but it was resolved, like, almost at the moment I was about to break. So, yeah. The premise of the story is that I can't think of the name of the character. The overruler, I don't know.
The High Sovereign?
Yes, the High Sovereign is wanting to create a perfect utopia, and in doing so, he's trying to create these new creatures that are able to
live in peace
and become more evolved, basically. Mm-hmm. And Rocket is one of the first beings that kind of works and even helps troubleshoot the process, right? That's how we kind of get a look into Rocket's backstory and what happened with him and how he has become who he was. And throughout the movie, they're in pursuit of a way to save Rocket and get more data on how Rocket was created. Because basically he was created and mutated to be who he is today. He has a kill switch that obviously will kill him if activated. And when they tried to save him after he was greatly injured, that's how they figured out, okay, we got to figure out how to save Rocket. And so in the movie, they're in pursuit of information. They're in pursuit of attempting to save him. And along the way, they encounter many other situations. So are there any other thoughts about that?
No.
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 I think that was spot on.
Absolutely.
Spot on, I'd say.
Or spot a T.
We have all of the classic Guardians of the Galaxy characters. I'm not going to name them all off. In addition to those characters, we gained a few. We met Cosmo, right? Cosmo was in the other movies.
There was a cameo in the very first one.
Okay.
Oh, there was?
She was part of the collector's collection.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So Cosmo is a talking dog. Think Doug in Up. That was another like Disney reference that I felt very strong throughout this movie. We also met a few of the other created beings. Floor, Lila, I don't remember.
Adam Warlock.
Oh, yeah, Adam Warlock is kind of a major one.
So,
even though he really, never mind, we'll talk later, I guess, about that.
Yeah. So as far as characters, I mean, I love them all. And so I don't really have a favorite, right?
Rocket really stood out in this movie, of course. They really highlighted him.
See, I felt like Rocket didn't.
So I kind of thought about this. Like, Rocket wasn't a part of the present story. He wasn't an active person in the present story. He was very much, his story through the movie was told through flashbacks.
Yeah.
And, like, his kind of, like, mental, like, internal monologue kind of thing, which I thought was kind of interesting, but, yeah.
Yeah, like, the whole story was centered around him, like, his backstory, and also, like, his, like, he was, like, saving him was, like, the...
Right. The, like, but, like, there were long stretches where, yes, the goal was to save Rocket, but Rocket wasn't involved. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because he was in a coma, kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Katie?
So I really do love all of the Guardians. Mantis is not my favorite if I had to pick a least favorite, but I really kind of liked the way they wrote Adam Warlock. Once I figured out, like, at the first I was like, oh, well, this is weird. But then as the movie went on, I was like, oh, I kind of thought his character was interesting.
What do you, I kind of want you to expand upon that.
So
I want to know
when
what you
when they revealed that, and maybe I had just not remembered it from previous movies, that they like unlocked him early or whatever, because I was like, why is he acting like some dumb thing? He's supposed to be like this all, you know what I mean? Like super powerful. And because he was acting like a kid. And so once they revealed that, and then that's how I was viewing him from, I was like, oh, I feel like he's playing this part really good. And he was just like figuring things out. And like by the end, you know, like he was a homie.
It was cute whenever he was like, he found that like little weird fluffy, whatever the heck that was. And he was like, I like this. Oh, and it was really funny whenever she was like, take care of him. And he just killed that guy. Yep. She was like, well, yep. I don't know what that means.
So I thought he was really funny. Like, yeah, very literal.
I did like him as a character, but if you think about it, he was literally just like not as big of a deal of the story as he kind of should have been.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like he should have been more. And like also the fact that he like saved the day just by going and grabbing Star-Lord and bringing him back in. I was like, I wish he would have actually like done something more. But
yeah, that's fair.
Also, I feel like it's worth noting that if you are a fan of The Crown, Diana was in this movie, and it kind of ruined it a little bit. Because at one point, Ryan leaned over, right, like, as soon as she's on, and he goes, that's Diana. And I was like, oh, but now it's just Princess Diana painted in gold.
LOL.
That actress who plays...
Elizabeth Debicki, yeah.
So, my favorite character was actually Rocket. It wasn't Adam Warlock, it was Rocket. But, you know, he got a lot of, which I don't feel like they actually revealed anything about his backstory other than the fact that he had buddies. Because, like, we already knew. But we already knew that.
Really true. Well, but, like how he was, like, what the purpose was.
Like, a little more specific, yeah. But, like, I mean, we knew that he was experimented on and, like, super modified, right? And that he didn't really understand or want to admit that he was actually a raccoon.
Yeah. But we didn't know that, like, his girlfriend was murdered in front of him along with his other two best friends.
I think that was his girlfriend.
Lila? Yes.
Oh yeah, they did a little smoochy smooch thing at the end.
Yeah.
You can kiss someone who's not your girlfriend.
I'm telling Ashley.
Alright.
That's my wife. That's different.
Your permanent girlfriend.
Is that what a wife is? A permanent girlfriend?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you say in your vows. Permo girl.
That is what you said. I was there.
I did not say that.
Okay. This movie had a ton of one-liners. I didn't write any of them down because I'm not a terrible person. And didn't have my phone out during the movie.
Okay. I thought you were saying, like, people who take notes are bad people.
People who take notes during movies are bad people if they're doing it on their phones. Mm. Also, they're strange, especially on opening night. I have thought about going back and watching so I can write down some of the quotes because it is so good. And it makes me really sad because we only had the quotes from the internet to go off of. At least that's what I did. So my favorite quote is, I don't even remember the context, honestly, but Mantis is talking to Peter and Peter makes the comment like, humans only live until they're like 50 or something like that. And she's like, humans only live to 50? Mm-hmm. What's the point of even being born?
That was funny.
The context was he was talking about his grandpa and he was like, he's probably dead. Humans only live until they're like 50.
Yeah, that's right.
That was really funny. And then she goes, you're close to 50. And he's like, I'm not 50. But I don't actually know how old is Chris Pratt. He's got to be like 38, 39, maybe 40, right?
My guess is
41.
Yeah. 41. He's 43.
So he's experiencing presbyopia at this point. So he's
fair.
He's old.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, favorite quote?
My favorite quote was whenever they're talking about like going in and like infiltrating that place. He's like, we're not going to go in and kill everyone. He's like, let's kill everyone. And then they're like, we're not going to kill everyone. He's like, kill a few people. And they're like, we're not killing a few people. And he's like, kill one guy, a stupid one who no one loves. And then I almost said Chris Pratt. Star-Lord's like, you're making me sad.
It's a good one.
Did either of you have?
Sure. Either of you.
Katie or Ryan, did you guys have?
Yes, quotes? I'm trying to find it though. I did look it up online, but it was the one I was thinking of. So let me see if I can.
My favorite was the car door sequence that when they were trying to do that. That was hilarious.
Give a little more context.
So they've finally been revealed where the person with the data bank in his head would be, and so like they leave and they're like they're gonna take the people's car. Peter, of course, knows how to get in a car. Nebula, never having lived on Earth, probably doesn't know how to operate a vehicle. So, like, he had to explain to her how to open the door.
Well, and it's not just a vehicle, because Nebula has
experience. I said it's a car,
though. Well, no. But, it's an old vehicle. Like, she has to push the button and pull at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Nebula probably has experienced a vehicle, like a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like the thing is, like that, if you think about that mechanism, it is really stupid. Like you have to push on the button and then pull on the door. That's dumb. I haven't seen a car with that mechanism in a very long time.
Yeah. Katie?
Okay, so I found it. I really enjoyed the scene when they were breaking in. I don't remember the name of the thing that they were stealing, but it was try to get the information to locate, you know, how to deactivate the kill switch and Rocket. And it said that Master Karja said this, but like when they were like, your friend's a moron, I got one of those too. Like the whole scene when he was like,
right there.
Yes. I was like, oh man, that's funny. Like
that whole sequence. Yes, yeah.
I loved that scene. So.
And they reference back to it later.
Yes. That was pretty funny. Good. Yeah.
He was like, boss's son. That was great. I forgot about that whole sequence.
Yeah, that was a good one. There, and in addition, like the clothes flying behind them as it's happening too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the airlock.
So we had two in credit scene, one mid credit and one in credit. The mid credit scene is Rocket leading them, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about their music and stuff like that, and the new Guardians, basically.
And then the second scene comes to us at the very end of the credits, and we're back on Earth. Peter sits down to breakfast with his grandfather, who's seen reading a newspaper called the St. Charles Post. The front page headline teases an exclusive interview with Kevin Bacon, who promises to tell all about the alien
abduction.
So then after, like, this isn't a scene, but it did say the legendary Star-Lord will return. It's definitely, so those three things happen throughout the credits. Thoughts on those?
I liked how they were just like talking crap about a neighbor. Like whenever they were sitting down, he was like, why isn't he mowing her lawn for him? He's like, fully grown man, not fully capable man, not mowing the lawn for her. And he's like, don't even get me started.
I am also not a huge fan of the, I guess, Marvel movies post Spider-Man. But I just like when the end credit scenes, I just don't feel like they have any connection like they used to.
They're not doing anything to set up the future.
Like they don't give a frick. Yeah. It just feels like they're giving us end credit scenes because they know we want them.
Well, do you remember?
Which I do.
One of the main actors that you're basing the whole Phase 5 and 6 on is
domestic violence stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's wild. Do you remember like back at the end of, I think it was Captain America Civil War, I don't remember, there was one that was an end credit scene that was like, remember when you're waiting around and it's disappointing? And that was like the funny thing is because everyone waited around because the end credit scene always like set up another movie. They like haven't been doing that.
Yeah so it was like
I feel like the last one that we've gotten that has really set up something was after Spider-Man, when it set up the black goo. But what is that?
Venom.
That we don't even know that actually set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the symbiote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they really do like Spider-Man 3 and make him like emo. That'd be really tight.
Nice.
I think the girls would go crazy. Girls would go crazy for an emo.
Tom Holland,
man.
As long as Zendaya's involved, I'm there.
Same.
Oh, okay. This is completely off topic, but I'm going to just say it anyway. So I do an assignment in my class where they have to write a recipe for a character and like one cup of kindness, da 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 da. Well, the example I give is Spider-Man, and I put one cup of love for MJ or something on the example. And I said MJ or Mary Jane. And one of my kids was like, wait, MJ stands for Mary Jane?
Like, that's funny.
You uncultured swine. Yes.
Spider-Man.
Oh gosh.
So anyway, okay, that does lead us into MCU implications and predictions. Kevin, I feel like I haven't started with you yet, so you can start.
So they were like, they said Star-Lord will return. So basically that means that, you know, Chris Pratt is still part of the MCU. He's not gone. They didn't, you know, soft kill off his character essentially. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, the original ones, are now broken up and there's a new Guardians of the Galaxy. So basically the only continuity there is Rocket, right?
Yeah.
And I think Groot and I guess Nebula's now like formally Guardians of the Galaxy instead of just being like tangentially part of them for the purposes of one movie. But yeah, that's the implications. They didn't set up anything else outside the Guardians of the Galaxy universe at all.
Yeah.
Like, or not universe, sorry, the Guardians of the Galaxy storyline at all. There's no connection to any other movie, any other superhero that's going on. And we'll talk about why, I guess, later. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or I think this is the appropriate place.
Oh, yeah. To discuss that. Well, what about, what was that, Katie?
Yeah, go ahead, Katie.
I don't know, guys. I just, every time I go into a Marvel movie, I'm like, you're going to have to surprise me to like make me like this movie. I don't go into a movie expecting what we did in, you know, pre-Endgame. So it was still good. And thought. I like, it did. And so that's why I'm like, I don't know. It was good. I liked the storyline. It was a little gory for me. Like, just with all the bones breaking, I was like, okay, that's a lot of, you know, everything would be cracking. But, so I don't know. I don't even know how that would, unless, like, the new band of Guardians is somehow, you know, going to play into some story in the future. I don't know how anything would connect.
I mean, I think they're just going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy 4. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just going to have different peoples.
Yeah. So glad you joined us for this Future Princess of the Podcast. Please join us as we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 27.
We should probably talk about why, like, stuff that is going on with, what's the actor's name? I forgot.
Jonathan Majors.
Majors. So he was arrested. Do you want me to talk about it, or do you want to talk about it? So he was arrested under allegations of domestic abuse. And they, at first, right after he got arrested, his lawyer came out and was very, very strong on the fact that they had evidence that would refute all the rumors and all the claims. And then, as time has gone on, nothing that super impressive has come out from his camp. And in addition to that, we have text between him and the girl that seem very, very, very like whenever someone's in an abused relationship and they're like, it was my fault. I did it. Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on with his personal life. It will suffice it to say that. But basically a lot of PR firms that have worked with him have dropped him completely. And these are PR firms that handle crises. Mm-hmm. And when they start dropping you and your manager, your publicist starts dropping you in Hollywood like that readily, it's not a good sign. Cause publicists help people weather controversies. So they probably at the very least don't have more evidence that shows anything. And they were supposed to release a video and no video has come out. So, we don't know everything, but it does not look good for him. It also does not look good for the future of the MCU, considering he was the big bad that was set up for this was like his show.
Yeah.
I have never seen an actor drop the bag as quickly as him, because he was in everything. When you were watching the previews for a Marvel movie, he was in like three movies. He was in the movie you were watching. He was in, he was in Creed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that dude was in everything, and it's like he was becoming like one of the most important, like new rising action stars, and he just did maybe what he did. And so we're gonna have to see what MCU does with it, because MCU has built up a pretty big thing around him, and it's gonna be hard.
In the words of myself, because I say this all the time. Beautiful.
Quote Hannah.
I mean, that's the beauty of the, you know,
the whole multiverse.
Like, it's just another Kang. Like,
yeah, but they had all the Kangs look like him though. They were all him.
I'm like, that's where they messed up. Is like almost they everybody made him in look that different, shot was that it was him.
It was just him in like different outfits, right? And some of them seemed a little goofy.
I mean, with Loki, there were Lokis that looked like Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, there were. That's what you'd think that they would have done at least that at the end of it, right? But they probably also didn't know that he was going to get arrested for domestic abuse.
Yeah, well, what's crazy?
The big problem with that scene is they did the three main Kangs that kind of run the multiverse like that as him, and that's the problem.
But also, they've done this in the MCU before. Like,
they've replaced
Don Cheadle. Like,
but that wasn't the same scale.
Yeah,
there wasn't a what's his name in the movies?
Rhodey,
yeah.
There wasn't a Rhodey Dynasty movie coming out. Yeah. Like Avengers, the Rhodey Dynasty.
Well, and like the thing is, like, okay, if it would have been,
it might be
like,
good for them.
Let's say I forget who played Thanos. That was
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, yeah. If he would have done something, at least the character is like heavily CGI'd and makeup.
Yeah.
Right. But like, it was just him in different outfits. You know what I mean? So. Yeah.
It's definitely disappointing and hard, and like it is very difficult to make decisions like that, and there's no way anybody can predict.
Yeah.
When someone's gonna,
I mean, unless they like knew, but I doubt that they knew, because Disney isn't gonna go near someone who they think is gonna get arrested for a domestic.
Right. So it's definitely interesting to see how they weather this situation, what the outcome is of this situation, and how that will affect the MCU. Because at the end of the day, it's gonna affect it.
It's gonna
affect at the very least timelines. As far as when movies come out, if for some reason they decide to stand by him,
or if he has court dates. Yeah,
right. He had his first court date. Was that yesterday?
I don't know.
He had his last court date this week. It was a virtual court hearing,
like a preliminary one, probably though. Mm-hmm. Like they haven't done a jury or anything yet,
right?
Oh no.
So
yeah. So favorite moment, and Kevin, you're not allowed to talk because you're just stupid.
Got him, coach.
Because this is terrible. You wrote the most sad part of the entire movie as your favorite.
I'm sorry. Does a favorite moment
have to be
like a good feeling? I'm sorry. We have to work on feeling every emotion in this podcast.
Okay, but like the saddest moment is typically not your favorite.
I disagree. I like the pain.
Moment and it's violent. So I guess you can tell the audience, is this really your favorite moment?
It's not my favorite. It's the moment that stuck with me the most. Can we say that?
Yeah, but like the title of this section of the podcast is favorite moment. And then the subtitle is what stood out to you.
Yeah, it stood out to me.
But it's not your favorite moment, correct?
It's not. It doesn't fill me with good feelings. No, I'm not a fucking sociopath. I feel like
somebody should say what we're talking about.
Yeah, so my favorite moment is when the otter died, because it was like the one that stuck out the most to me, and I think it was the most impactful of the entire movie. Just because something is like my favorite part of a movie doesn't mean it's like a good feeling, right? We have to work on feeling all of our emotions, okay? We can't just be happy.
When did you get your therapist license? I thought you were
I don't know, man. I've paid enough in therapy bills. I feel like I should have some kind of
fair enough. This point.
Katie, what was your favorite moment?
I'm trying to think.
Okay, we can.
Yeah, maybe circle back.
Okay.
Say when the otter died. You know what's funny? Is that even their name? I put the otter.
When Rocket used his like made up a key to unlock the door, like right after that.
Mm-hmm.
No, my favorite moment was when Drax like accepted his role, like as like
I'm gonna be so mad if we pick the same favorite moment
as like the, not like as they call it the idiot.
Oh, okay.
And he dances like because like for the first two movies he was like dancing is pathetic, dancing is for idiots, dancing is for morons, and then he accepts his role and he dances for the kids because he's a dad and that's what he is.
So mine is adjacent. Mine is when he realizes that he's meant to be a dad. So
that's sweet.
Was yours on the ship or at the end when they dance?
It's when did Gamora tell him that or Nebula? One of them, or maybe Mantis.
Mantis was screaming at Nebula about it.
When Mantis says, "You weren't meant to be a violent person. You were meant to be a dad."
Yeah. I think my favorite moment. Nothing like stood out to me to be a moment, but my favorite scene was probably when all the Guardians got back together with Rocket on the ship and they were in that tunnel doing the fight scene. I think that was probably my favorite scene. That was really cool. I really like the way they shot that. It was good.
That was reminiscent of the fight scene in Kingsman. I don't know if you guys have seen Kingsman.
Oh, yeah.
Like the camera work. I was thinking that while I was watching it. I was like, this is kind of like the Kingsman, except a little less like gory, although it was like alien guts and stuff, I guess. So.
It reminded me of Age of Ultron when they're like, defending the thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. I was like, this is the last time they'll all fight together. It's fine.
When they fought, what's the main villain's name? I don't even remember.
Did you even watch this movie?
I guess I dissociated.
Amazing being or whatever.
Supreme.
I can't remember it either.
Yeah. What was it, Katie? What was it, Katie? The high old.
No.
Umpire. It's baseball.
No.
This the umpire. A yeah. Movie. Yeah. I watched Angels in the Outfield. I don't know about you guys. but yeah, whenever they teamed up to beat him at the end, I thought that was pretty good because then they all just came out at the same time from different angles and just beat him up. I thought that part was cool.
Yeah. Okay. Final thoughts. I have one, but I can close this out with it.
I mean, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I'm kind of with Katie. Like the Marvel movie, like I'm still going to see them. I'm probably going to see them as close to opening night as I possibly can. However, it does. I'm not like filled with like this crazy level of excitement like I was. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, we are just now ending the first part of this phase. So if our level of excitement is similar to the first part of the first phase in the original one with like Thor and everything, mm-hmm. that's about the level of excitedness we should be, I guess. I just hiccuped technically, but I just like, I don't know, coming down off the high of Endgame and Infinity War and all the, yeah. the like phase three movies that we got. It's like, oh my God, this is letting me down more and more and more.
Yeah.
There's less excitement. There's less, I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like there's less
tension. It just feels like you're going to see a really good movie and not yeah. like you're going to see the movie.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't feel like you're watching like a crazy, very long, very high budget, like, addictive TV show almost, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the comedy in this didn't feel as forced as it has in the last couple movies.
Yeah.
Like the, and that's the thing about the Guardians. Like these actors have worked together so well. And so the comedy won't feel as forced.
Because it's also James Gunn yeah. instead of, yeah. he's like a comedy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My last thought is this is my favorite soundtrack for a Guardians movie.
Wow.
Like No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Like that was just so, like it started and I was like, oh my gosh. And then the fight sequence to it. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. And I felt like every time a song hit, like it was just, like I couldn't imagine any other song in that scene. And so, yeah, I loved the music.
I wouldn't have figured you to be a Beastie Boys fan. I guess we learned something new today.
We all learned something.
Just that one song. It's okay.
That one song. No Sleep Till Brooklyn. It's because she has insomnia.
Yeah.
I should talk to my eye doctor about that.
See your local optometrist. Take your contacts out every night, kids.
Hey, that's correct.
No corneal ulcers up in here.
I'm not going to say none. Some of us might
get no corneal ulcers that end up in my office is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, and did you guys have any other thoughts on the music or no?
It was actually my least favorite, TBH.
Yeah, I don't. I liked. I just looked it up because I was like, I didn't even like. I was not super paying attention. I mean, I remember No Sleep Till Brooklyn because it was during that hallway fight scene, right?
And the Florence and the Machine song at the end.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Florence and the Machine a lot. Dog Days Are Over. Did they change some of the lyrics in that? I feel like they might have. I don't remember.
I don't think they did.
But and also like the Flaming Lips. They're like an Oklahoma band, right? So like,
yeah, they are.
But I don't know. Do you like Koino No Carnival by Ahimic?
I mean, I don't know if that was that a score song. But like, I just felt overall the music was like,
yeah,
it just hit for me.
I think the first Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack is my favorite.
I would say it's 3-1-2.
3-1-2. I would say 1-2-3 maybe.
I wasn't huge on the second one. On the soundtrack. I liked songs on it, but one set a high bar, and I think three met it.
One was like so different at the time.
So cool.
That it was
so different.
Yeah, it was so novel.
I think, two, the only song that absolutely stands out is The Chain, like in the kind of that final scene with the Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm like, I could not name another one from that. The second one.
Mr. Blue Sky was a great way to open
it. I was about to say
Mr. Blue Sky with that. The Annulux Batteries classic.
Yeah. Harvey Larry Batteries, come on.
Oh, and the freaking when Groot's just like dancing around.
Yes, so, baby Groot.
So yeah.
Also, we didn't talk about that.
Groot talking.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Groot just like at the end was like, "I love you guys."
You're like, "Has everything I've been told a lie?" Can you talk?
Do you know why?
No.
James Gunn has confirmed that we can understand him now because we have.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet because we're guardians. Aw.
We're all guardians.
Me and my
millions of, I do not like it.
It's pretty cheesy, not gonna lie. It's pretty cheesy, but also that's pretty cute. I like cheesy.
Because you're not intolerant to dairy.
Because I'm not lactose intolerant.
Okay. This is last call.
Already? Yeah. It was a good run, like Guardian. 1:30. It was a good run. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, and yeah, that dude learned how to use the arrow appropriately. Yeah. So that was cool.
Kurt.
Whatever.
Rip Yondu.
Island. Rip Yondu, dude. Yeah. My Yondu. That was weird.
The, like, him seeing him. I thought that was weird.
Oh, like, they were, like, they had, like, a flashback.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't a flashback. He just, like,
not a flashback, it. Yeah, like a hallucination. Yeah. That's, like, a trope that I really don't like in movies, actually. Like, it's, like, when you see the person who, like, had a huge influence in you, like, literally.
Like Star Wars.
Star Wars, like, well, I mean, but they're like projecting. That's a little different.
That's different. That's good.
Yeah. I'm talking about like whenever, like, the person's just, I guess, suffering like a mental breakdown and sees the person. Like, literally sees them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad you joined us for this week's Princess in the Podcast. Be sure to join us on Facebook and Instagram at Princess in the Podcast and on Twitter at Princess AM Pod. Visit our website, princessinthepodcast.com. I hope you live happily ever after.